Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers to invite me to this nice conference. So I'm Takayanagi from NTT, and Tamura, Shiraish, and Kimura and Nakazaki are my co-workers in this job. So this is an overview of my talk. First, I'll discuss artificial crystals designed in dot arrays, like a quantum dot system, and the design of leap and Kagome lattices, and advantages. And second, I'll discuss a flat band ferromagnetism in quantum dot arrays, like a stability or effect or magnetic field or one design. And the other proposals for material design. And we do not have a good experimental result yet, but today I'll show you some samples of the experimental. Sorry. And I have some summary. So, of course, everyone knows that in a single dot, it works as an artificial atom. For example, we have a shell structure or a Hund rule, and recently it's very so popular, Kondo effect. But if we have two couple dots, what happens? It works as a molecule, like an artificial molecule. And in this system, we have already have bonding and antibonding level splitting. Now we have a dot and two dots. Then how about dot arrays? So this system should work as artificial crystals by treating a dot as a building block, because each dot is an atom. So some different types of lattice design and also flat band ferromagnetism. First, I'll show you in what system we should have a flat band. We have two examples. One is a leap lattice, and the other one is a Kagome lattice. And using a tight binding approximation, in both systems, we have a totally flat band here and here. And based on this flat band, Leap and Mielke show that ferromagnetism appears when the flat band is half filled. Of course, this model is based on not dot, just what can I say? Site model. And of course, this ferromagnetism appears when the temperature is zero. But now, today we discuss temperature dependence also. And based on such model, so there are many trials search for flat band ferromagnetism. For example, carbon network, Shima and Aoki, and also Fujita, Umeda, and in another system like a graphite sheet with edge, this nanographite. And recently also, gallium or arsenide atomic wire. There have been relatively many trials to find a flat band. But not yet. We don't have any evidence of the flat band. So why? So now, last year we proposed a flat band ferromagnetism in dot array systems. So why we did not have such evidence? Because one is a thesis of our fabrication is very difficult. And usually feeling cannot be freely changed in a so atomic system or something like that, or material. And of course, this is very important. Jahn-Teller effect usually lifts flat band degeneracy. Each atom or molecule or something can move to the bottom of the potential. But if we can use a dot array system, totally different. Fabrication technology is very, not well, but relatively well established. And various lattice designs are possible. And the third one is very important. Filling can be freely changed by gate. In the usual material, it's very difficult to change the Kelvin density. But in this system, very easy. And the last one is also the most important one. No Jahn-Teller effect. Quantum dot never move when you fabricate it. It's impossible for it to move. Then, based on these ideas, we propose two again systems. One is a leap lattice, and the other one is a Kagome lattice. Of course, you know, Kagome is a Japanese word. You know the meaning? You don't know. Okay. And in a leap lattice, okay. the design of so, okay, when you make a baggage or a bag made of so bamboo string, we have this design. That is Kagome. So in a leap lattice, this is a unit cell, and in a Kagome lattice, this is a unit cell. First, we think about a very simple case, electron transfer between nearest neighbor dots. Oh, no difference, just, yeah. Of course, this can be different. Or well, maybe the same, we don't care. So now we use a Hubbard model for dot arrays. Of course, this is very so famous Hubbard model among Hamiltonian. And T is a transfer between dots. And the U is, of course, a Hubbard, sorry, on-site Coulomb repulsion, on-site U. So for this calculation, we use very simple assumptions. For example, so for potential profile, we have a parabolic. And a wave function like this. So using these assumptions, we can calculate a transfer T like this. Here, D is the diameter of the dot, and A is the spacing between dots. And also, U can be calculated like this. So if we give a D and A, we can easily calculate T and U. And first, I can give you the spin state as a function number of electrons for leap lattice. Of course, in this case, we have exact diagonal relation of Hubbard Hamiltonian. In this case, we use 12 sites in 4 unit cells, and ratio over U over T is 10. This means a strongly correlated system. And exactly when a number is 12, we have a high spin state. So in this case, we can say something that we can say this state is, of course, a ferromagnetic, but in a sense, not a ferromagnetic, because this is actually anti-ferromagnetic. But number of so high spin states and low spin is different. It's twice. High spin, the number of high spin is twice as the down spin. And actually, so we have a high spin state. Then this result exactly is consistent with this Lipps theorem. When bands are half filled in a biparticle lattice, the ground state has a spin like this. So how about the TC of this system? TC means the definition of TC is that the energy difference between a high spin state and a low no spin state. Okay, this one. Of course, this is a Curie temperature. If Curie temperature is very low, then it's very hopeless. Even theoretically, it's okay. But not so hopeless. I mean, hopeful. If the diameter, dot diameter is like something like a 10, the Curie temperature is almost 30 K. Even 0.1 micrometer, this is very easy to fabricate. If we use a gallium arsenide, almost 0.1 K. That is a temperature range when we use a dielectric fringe. So how about the Kagome lattice? This is more hopeful because this system also shows a high spin state, but a relatively wide range between this one. It's 18 to 24 in the 4 unit cells. And this result, again, consistent with the Mirkel theorem. Kagome lattice shows a ferromagnetic behavior for the electron filling of 5 over 3 to 11 over 6. So how about Curie temperature in this case? Not so bad. Again, the definition of the Curie temperature is this one. Energy difference of two states. And if, again, we can use gallium arsenide, Curie temperature is something like a 20 K. And a 0.1 micrometer result in almost 0.3 K, very high. Now, so next I will discuss the magnetic field effect on the Kagome lattice. So this is, of course, a Kagome lattice, very simple one. And if we have a magnetic flux in this structure, due to the interference effect, we have big change of the transport or something. And in the usual real atomic state, atomic material, usual material, this flux quantum is very huge because this size is very small. But in our system, we can use, again, a quantum dot direct system. Then this size is for example, 100 nanometer, resulting in one flux quantum is 0.4 tesla. It's very easy to get this magnetic field. And this is a Hofstadter butterfly. If we apply magnetic field to this Kagome lattice, this is a flat band, and when we apply magnetic field, we are very complicated but a very beautiful Hofstadter butterfly in a Kagome lattice. So high spin state in the magnetic field. In a case when with an isolated unit cell. First, I'll give you a very simple example. Again, this is a Kagome lattice. And when we have no magnetic field, we have low spin state. Under n equal 2, we have low spin. Under n equal 4, we have high spin state. And the increasing flux quanta or magnetic field due to the spin of deduction, degeneracy is broken, and this state is almost same, but when the flux is half, when n equal 2, this becomes high spin state. But when n equal 4, it's opposite. And this is exactly, we calculated this one. This is the energy as a function of a flux quanta when n equal 4, this case. So this means we have a crossover between a singlet triplet transition, between a singlet triplet state. So this could be observed again because, as I explained before, this flux quanta is something like a 0.4 tesla only. So flat band filamentism can be understood as a generalized Hund-Rule coupling. So ferromagnetic paramagnetic transition induced by a breakdown of the flat band in the magnetic field. This result can be obtained by exact diagonalization of the Hubbard model. First, we have a high spin state when n equal 20 or 21 and 30 or 31, and increasing magnetic field, high spin state is broken, like this. So how can we so observe this effect? One method is to measure the transport. So now we calculate the magnetic field effects on Dirudev weight. When a Dirudev weight, if D equals zero, that means insulator. And D is more than zero, that means we have matter. So in this case, we calculate the Dirudev weight as a functional magnetic field in a 18 site case. That means that we have 32 electrons, not half field, much more than half field. In this case, increasing magnetic field in both cases, both means no U, or if we have a U, in both cases, insulator becomes metal when we apply magnetic field. That means the system is an insulator when the film surface crosses the flat band at zero magnetic field, because the group velocity of the electrons equals zero. And if we apply magnetic field, the system is metal in the magnetic field because the group velocity of the electrons becomes finite. So this is a magnetic field induced insulator metal transitions. So we think, of course, this is observable. We can measure this one. So how about the half field state? This is a little bit different. Again, in this case, half field means for 12 sites, we have 20 electrons. This is exactly half field state. Okay? And we also calculate in both cases, U equals zero and U equals not zero. So this is very interesting because in this case, ferromagnetic, paramagnetic, and initial terminal transitions occur simultaneously. So why? In a ferromagnetic state, electrons cannot move in a K space, even when they have finite group velocities, because there are no vacancies in K space. But when we increase magnetic field more, then we have space, vacancies. Then electron can move. That means the system becomes metal. Also, high spin state is broken. So this one and this one occurs at the same time. So now, next, I'll give you one other example to make a kind of dot array system. But this is not a dot array system. If we make a Kagome network like this, only very thin wires, but still it works as a dot array system, because this point, closer point, the potential profile is modified. Then this point works as a real dot. In this case, we use indium arsenide wire embedded in this is indium gallium arsenide heterostructure. So, yeah. And in this case, we use a local density functional approximation for the calculation, band calculation. And we have exactly this flat one here. And we, when the calculation, we use T is 1.55 milli-electron volt, and U is 6 milli-electron volt. That means also, in this case, we have a very strongly correlated system. Still, of course, we have a totally flat band. Okay, I'll show you again. Stop. Okay. This is a charge distribution, and this is a spin distribution. Okay, I change the number of electrons per dot. You can see, of course, red means a high density, and you can see that the crossover point here and here, we have high density for both charge and spin. And when a filling is 5 over 3, this means a half filling. We have the high spin state. Okay?
What is the scale? The distance between the
dots. Oh, okay. Come back to you. Yeah, distance like this. Anyway, I'll show you again. So today I discuss flat band ferromagnetism almost theoretically, but also we are very interested in the experiment. And we have already fabricated these kind of samples. This is a Kagome lattice with different size. This is very small and this is very large. And today I did not discuss the polymer model, but also this model has something like, should show something like ferromagnetism. One lattice or many lattices. But unfortunately, until now, we don't have a good result, but not hopeless, because we have a very good, very special, but a very good heterostructure like this. This heterostructure is based on the gallium arsenide and aluminum gallium arsenide, usual one, but this has a very different from a usual one, because now we have back gate here, and when back gate equals zero, we have no electrons in the 2-day. But usually when we discuss gallium arsenide heterostructure, we have so many electrons in the 2-day, 10 to the 12th or 10 to the 11th. But in this case, we have no electrons first. The increasing back gate, we have some electrons. And sometimes, finally, one electron per one dot. It's very special. And even though a very small number of electrons, but still mobility is not so bad. Okay, this top view. And also we have a phase gate here. So back gate can control the total number of electrons. How about phase gate? Phase gate can control the coupling between dots. So in principle, we can control T and U independently. Not perfect, but almost. So now, based on this heterostructure, using this heterostructure, we are fabricating new samples. Then I hope sooner or later we get some tail of the ferromagnetism. So today I discuss flat band magnetism, but also using this quantum dot array systems, we have some other ideas or proposals. For example, so artificial copper oxide plane. Of course, a copper oxide plane means high TC materials. So maybe we can make artificially these kind of things. Then such system should show superconductivity. And of course, still, so the mechanism of high TC material is very controversial. But of course, based on the Harvard model, such models should show superconductivity. And we think using these artificial atom systems, also we can achieve a superconductivity in the future. Of course, experimentally. And also, we have artificial ladders like this. This is Tomura Latija Rikit in the QSI1D dot CH chains. And there are many other ideas.
So in some sense, we can think about this as an analog simulation of the Hubbard model.
What do you mean analog?
Not on a digital computer.
Yes. But even though we don't care the high TC materials, anyway. This I wrote this copper oxide, but we don't care the mechanism of high TC material. But based on the Harvard model with the repulsion, that model should show a superconductivity. And if we achieve such model experimentally using these systems, this system should show a superconductive state. Even the TC is very low. So this summary. Material design using semiconductor dot arrays is proposed. And flat band ferromagnetism in dot arrays is discussed. And I discuss the advantage of using semiconducting materials for dot array ferromagnetic magnets are pointed out. And other artificial materials using dot arrays are proposed. So thank you for your attention. This is just next year. will organize this kind of symposium. So if you are interested, you can open this homepage.
What kind of uniformity you need on your fabrication, and whether offset charges are a problem?
Okay. You mean if so we have some fluctuation of the size, such how does it affect TC or something? So we don't know exactly, but it's not hopeless. There are some other calculations, based on such calculation, even though the reduction of TC, Curie temperature, still this system is robust. So actually, so we fabricate these samples and size fluctuation is something like 5% or 10%, maybe. But we don't care such size difference. Of course, maybe TC is lower, but still it should show ferromagnetism.
So resolution transition from insulator to conductor and also from magnetic to anomaly. Is it possible that magnetic transition occurs in the insulating phase? Is it possible or it's always coincide?
Oh, in that case, it's not impossible. I mean, it's possible. Yeah, okay, just come back. You mean this one?
Yes, it's simultaneously.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have ferro-ferro transition in the insulating regime?
Yeah.
To split the two transitions.
Yes.
To make the two transitions separate, magnetic and the insulating.
Oh, but we don't know this detail over here, but simultaneous means not exactly the same simultaneous, but we don't know. Simultaneous means just here we have both states, I mean, both transitions from here to here.
Presumably, your exact solutions of the Hubbard model are with periodic boundary conditions, mm-hmm. boundary conditions. Mm-hmm. It's an infinite periodic system. Mm-hmm. A real experiment with dots will have to be finite. Wouldn't you need to worry about the boundary effects?
Yeah, of course, theoretically, of course, we can do anything, but experimentally, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but how sensitive is the flat band effect to finiteness of the system?
Yeah, we don't know exactly, but experimentally, theoretically, we make large samples. And of course, we have to compare the sample size and some typical lengths. Maybe if we have a ferromagnetism, maybe this has something like a domain. Something like a coherence length, and maybe such length should be smaller than the total size. Then it's okay.
Yeah, what should the size of your quantum dot be so that the energy level spacing between the ground state and the P state mm-hmm. is larger than KT?
Yeah.
T is your Curie temperature. So how small should the quantum dot be?
Oh, then okay.
It should be very, very small.
No. Yeah. This is Curie temperature as a function of dot diameter. But in this case, of course, we fix the ratio between spacing and the diameter.
But something has to limit. It's not just the ratio of 1.5. Something has to limit. You can't have a very, very large.
Yeah, of course, yeah. If we have very large spacing and dot size, then we don't have. But even 0.1 micrometer, still we have a TC.
So what's your confining barrier? The quantum dot is defined as the gain master mode and the surrounding materials is vacuum, or what is it?
Vacuum. Yeah.
Vacuum?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just that it's
Oh, yeah, this one.
It's defined electrostatic.
Hmm.
Difference between the zero state and spin 2
yeah.
state Curie.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the real Curie temperature be lower than that because the
entropy
of the
state? Could be, but yeah, just for convenience, we adopted this definition. But this is very so good guidance for the Curie temperature, we think. So we don't know the exact definition of Curie temperature, but it's good guidance.
In those simulations, what I call analog simulation of the Hubbard model, mm-hmm. you may be able to check other things. You know, superconductivity is one question, but
yeah.
there are serious questions about metal insulator transition, mm-hmm. function of doping, mm-hmm. and also how are the normal properties of the conductor mm-hmm. depend on temperature, for example, the anomalous resistivity and so on. And the question is if there is a chance to, you know, to research experimentally whether, for example, a 2D Hubbard model with some fillings will have a linear temperature depends on the resistivity, mm. which is what high TC materials have. You know, theoreticians are fantasizing a lot about.
Mm-hmm. Could be, yeah.
Question: if you think you'll be able to measure the, say, resistivity as function of temperature and magnetic field, the Hall effect, and so on.
Yeah, in a system, yes, yes. So. Actually, so transport is a rather easy. Transport measurement is easy. But for example, so if we apply so something like an optical method, then it's a little difficult. But the transport measurement is easy. Not easy, but relatively easy.
There's a question.
Suppose you build this copper oxygen plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see superconductivity. Will it be the proof that the real high temperature superconductivity mm-hmm. is not due to Hubbard model but due to something else?
No, then, as I told you again, we don't care the real so mechanisms or real so material. But based on the Hubbard model plus repulsion, this system model should show superconductivity. It's true. But I don't know in a real so quantum dot system should show superconductive or not. But based on this model, we should have a superconductivity.
So can you estimate the maximum size of your system in terms of the lattice space which you can attain? So the problem is who is more powerful, the present digital computer who can solve exactly the Hubbard model or many other models, or your experimental technology, which allows for maybe larger system size.
I mean, larger means how many
dots? Compared to the powerful computers.
That's a tough question, I don't know.
You probably can make many more units.
Yeah. Of course, we can make something like 100, 10,000, it's easy. Yeah. Yeah.
But then the scheme model will be eventually destroyed because the fact it must be absent in two dimensions.
No. No.
If you increase the size of this,
if the sound in the absolute sample you have one inside, then it should be.
I hit my query.
Yeah,
sure, not infinite.
Given that, what do you think is the minimum size, the minimum array that you need to demonstrate.
Oh, just one. What's it, one is enough?
No, but you have 100 by 100.
No. We don't, we have any size if we want. Then if we want to just show or demonstrate, you know, filamentous, then one in the cell is enough sometimes. One or two or something. For example, so in a, yeah.
So the question was asked before, what happens if there are fluctuations in the size of the dots? What if you convolute onto, and you said that it may change the TC slightly, but it's not a problem.
Yeah.
What if you convolute that with fluctuations in the separation, in the distance between the dots? What
but,
do you tolerate?
No, but the size fluctuation is the same as the distance fluctuation. Yeah.
They're related, but I'm not sure that they're...
Well, for example, if, okay, for example, so... in this case, oh, this is one example, but in this case, we fixed the ratio, okay? Then the effect is the same, I think. And of course, from the viewpoint of fabrication, distance fluctuation, the size fluctuation is almost the same.
Any further questions? This is your chance now.